Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Dope Black Podcast.
Hi, my name is Arnold Sibanda and welcome to the Dope Black Dads Podcast. And today we're joined by my very good brother, Barry Brewer. Born and raised in the south side of Chicago, Barry began his career as a stand-up comedian in 2002. Originally getting his start performing in local churches, Brewer perfected his craft performing in comedy clubs throughout Chicago before moving to LA to pursue a career in acting in 2004. Barry is best known for his stand-up comedy special Chicago I'm Home and Tyler's Perry's Brew. He recently had a recurring role on the BET series Games People Play, and he also appeared in Kevin Hart's Netflix special Kevin Hart's Guide to Black History. Barry is a proud father of two boys and believes the most important things one can do on this earth are to fulfill your purpose and raise your children very well.
You know, that church was open to more, you know, forms of entertainment and things like that. And so that's where I got my first opportunity to do stand-up.
At church?
At church, yes.
And you never looked back since then?
Haven't looked back. When the first time I did it, I was like, this is what I want to do forever.
How has it been working, I would say you're in Hollywood now, sort of like Hollywood, because you worked with Kevin Hart, you worked with some big names in comedy. How has that been for you?
It's been great. It's a journey. It's been a marathon for sure. Just learning the industry, finding your way, because everybody's different, trying to find your journey, trying to find the direction you're supposed to go on has been a journey for sure, as I'm still journeying it. But it's been great, man. I can honestly say that it's been a lot of things, just confirmations along the way that let you know you're in the right place.
Definitely, definitely. I had a look at some of your work with Kevin Hart. It's powerful work. It was on Black History and which is an important subject, you know. I love that part. And then,
thank you.
Educating and re-educating is very important, especially in our community, you know, so that we don't lose any of our history or essence. So, yeah, that was proper work.
Yeah.
Congrats for that.
Yes, man. I was very honored to get that role and to do that and be as part of something that speaks to kids and learn our history and what we've done that may not, you know, be known or popular. So I was really just honored to be a part of it with some of the counterparts on it and Kevin. It's just, you know, honored to be a part of that piece of, that movie.
Yeah. And on set, you guys talk about fatherhood. Do you guys touch on fatherhood? Do you share parenting tips, or is it just strictly work?
It was strictly work. Actually, I know Kevin from stand-up, but I didn't work with Kevin on set in that particular show. He filmed different days than I. So I didn't get to see him on that particular show. But I have seen him. I know him. I know his children's mother. Well, his first two children, the older kids he has. I know her, you know, that mother of those kids. And so, you know, but we haven't gotten a chance to exchange parenting advice other than what he talks about on stage. But he is a great father. And I got to meet the mother of his older children, and I know her pretty well, and she's a great mom. But yeah.
And I've been your father of two. How old are your boys?
My oldest boy is 13, just made 13 years old in April. Yeah. And my youngest is 8 months. He just made 8 months June 1st.
8 months?
Yes, 8 months, going on 13, because he's moving.
I've got a 1 year, 7 months son, and it's a handful. It's running out.
You already know.
It's all over the place. It's all over the place. So yeah.
That is him. That is my youngest. He is definitely all over the place. Busy body. Don't want to sit down. Don't want to lay down. Want to be in the action. Don't want to go to sleep because he think he gonna miss something.
So you know, I think for me, because this was my first child, and it was a boy, and I've always wanted a boy. Is it the same for you? You've always wanted boys, or you?
Yes. Did I always want a boy? I don't think I mind. I think I always wanted a boy for sure at some point, but I didn't mind which child I had. I think the second child we wanted was a girl because I had already had a boy. So the second child me and Mar have, I wanted a girl so I could have a boy and a girl, but we got another boy, so I'm very blessed to have that. So it's proudly I got two sons. So we'll roll the dice maybe one more time and see what comes.
It's gonna be another boy, man. It's gonna be another boy.
I had three boys like my mom. My mother had three boys. I'm the oldest of three boys, so I wouldn't be surprised, and I would be happy regardless. My wife probably not so much, but
yeah, we'd be only just boys. But my mom, yeah, it's just boys. She wanted a girl so badly, she was like, okay, I'm not doing it again. Three boys, that's it. I'm not gonna take more chances.
We might take two shots.
Yeah. So I just want to know, is it a different experience with every child? Is it a different experience, a different journey with the first child, with your child now?
Yes. I literally just got out of court concerning a matter of order protection services with my son, with my oldest son. And I've been going in and out of court for my sons. He's 13, 12 of his 13 years of this earth, I've been battling custody in and out of court almost every other year, if not every year. It's been a challenge. It's been a challenge not being with the mom and just the difficulties of trying to co-parent and get on the same page. You know, fighting against things that you're not aware of. I think as fathers, when relationships don't work out, sometimes moms are emotional about whatever. I don't really know. Obviously, we can speculate what's wrong with them or why they're acting that way, but, you know, we truly don't know. But it's been a challenge. It's been difficult. And so my second son with my wife, obviously, it's been a better experience going because we're together. You know, I think she's a different type of woman in that way. You know what I mean? You know, it's just you're more mature, and so you're probably in a more mature relationship, you know, as you continue to grow and get older, and probably in the person you choose is more mature and the choices you made in that, in a relational way. So it's just a different experience for all those things, right? Like even having a mom that's like, hey, you're the dad, you take the lead, I'ma follow your lead because this is a boy, and da 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 da. Like having that is a different experience, right? And with my oldest son kind of fighting that, you know, like, hey, respectfully, so I was a boy, you know, so I have a little information on how it is to be a boy and maybe what he should or shouldn't do or what's okay and what limits he should have. And sometimes, you know what I mean? So it's just a battle, man, to be honest with you, versus not as much of a battle with my second son because of those points I made. So, but it's definitely been a journey with my oldest son.
Definitely, man. Definitely. I understand. So, looking at the custody battle you're currently going through, would you say the court system in America, I'm not sure how it works, that's in America, but our experience is the same as well, because I have guys in South Africa who are struggling to get custody, who have been struggling to get visitation rights, you know. And when we try for the court system, sometimes it's very lenient to women, you know. So you have to really put up a good fight. You have to exhaust your resources, you know. And what happens, most guys end up giving up. And when guys give up after exhausting everything, people are like, why did you give up? Why did you try harder? Why are you making hard in the first place? Why are you not meeting me halfway? So that's the conversation we're trying to have here. Like, it doesn't have to get to a point where we're fighting, you know, where everything is being made hard for me. You know, as the father, why can't you meet me halfway in the first place? So would you say the court system in America as well tends to be a bit lenient on women more than
very much so. And I fought this family law case in California and in Illinois. And I would say yes, they're definitely more lenient to women. I think just culturally, people are, right? I think there's a sensitivity and a certain softness that comes with all of us as it relates to a woman, right? Like, you can see a woman hit a man, you're not as bothered by that. But as soon as that man hits that woman, it's a different response.
A different phase.
From everything, right? Because it's just like, all right, you'll be okay for the man. But I think that kind of concept comes over into family law for sure. And so when judges are looking at the facts, like they just give a certain level of grace to mom that they don't have at all for dad. And even when mom is sitting there being difficult, obviously in front of the court, it's still a level of grace, like, it's okay.
We get it.
Yeah, we get it. Like, and it's unfortunate because the child suffers, right? The child suffers, and definitely the father is suffering from all the things he's trying to do, not just being a father, but providing resources to support his son or his daughter, and then the resources you got to pull from to support the fight of going to court, paying for a lawyer, you know, all the time that you have to spend doing that and trying to be so strategic and intentional to put your best case forward, to just have a chance for somebody to consider or be fair to the situation. It's really hard and unfortunate. I just experienced it. And my child's mom, I said it, like, it's just really unfortunate. My child's mom have went to court and just lied blatantly, and the court sees it, and there's no recourse, there's no consequences, there's no anything. When I say consequences, even saying, you know what, it's obvious that you lied, you at least pay his court fees, if nothing else. You know, that makes other parents see, like, I'm not just going to go and say anything and do anything. I'm going to make sure it has merit before I just make up stuff and create this issue. I just think the system perpetuates the family not working together. I think, you know, I don't want to blame everything on mom, but I think that after the relationship is over, like in my case, it's just been an uphill battle. And I agree with you when you say, like, we quit. Like, I've been so many times in my battle of custody where I'm like, I can see why men stop, because it's, you know, my son's a teenager now. So you're battling with the teenager to be great. You're then battling the mom to understand why these things are important for the child. Then you're battling the system to prove that you have the child's best interests, right? Because sometimes when you come before the court, they look at you like it's just two people that can't get along, and they don't take the time to really invest to see if either of the parents are truly invested in the child's well-being. And it just looks like two people that just ain't paying attention to the child just because you're all in a issue. And I'm like, it takes two. It doesn't matter how much one person wants to work it out. If the other person doesn't want to be cooperative, it's not going to work. So it's trying to prove that. You're trying to prove that as well as whatever the custody thing. You're just trying to show yourself to be a rational, decent person that's there for the right reasons. And so that's the thing you're trying to prove as a father, because you're looked at like, oh, you just don't want to pay child support, or you know, I was asked one time, like, why do you want your son? I said, I want my son so I can get free food stamps. Like, what kind of question is that? Like, what?
Why would you want to be, you know, another thing, because what happens is there's stats that show that boys who grew up with their fathers, they end up in prison. They're very most likely to do drugs. They're most likely to engage in very extreme behaviors. You know, there's stats on that. But when you come and say, I want to be my son's life so I can protect him from these things, so I can guide him, so I can show him how to navigate life as a man, you know, the court doesn't see that. Then they come again and say, you black men are not in your kid's life. This is why they're in prison. This is why they're doing drugs. Forgetting that the system, it doesn't allow us to even have some sort of influence. Once the relation breaks down, they want to keep the family structure apart. They want our sons to be there. So we have to prove beyond reasonable doubt, which is ridiculous. Why am I proving beyond reasonable doubt that I have to be in my son's life so I can help him navigate life as a man? Because I've most likely I've walked this path. I know exactly the challenges when I encounter. I want to be there when he drinks for the first time, he goes out to a party, takes a girl out. I want to be there so I can tell him what I did and how to best navigate that. But all that, the court doesn't really care, you know.
They don't care. That is the truth. That is not a lie. That is fact. There's so many fathers. It's so funny. I was talking to a comedian friend of mine. He's like a big brother in the game. His name is Evan Lionel. And he is going through an ongoing thing where his children were taken from him. And he's been talking about the system being crooked and just not very conducive to working, bringing families together and helping building families together. And it's just unfortunate that there's so many elements, you know, so many difficulties, not just fighting the system, but fighting the moms or fighting all of these things. But I do think that sadly is purposed, especially in America. I think that system is purposed to do just that, to keep the father out the home. Studies show, you know, the success of children when fathers are removed, as you just said, even when fathers are single parents, even children are successful. You know what I mean? It shows that foundation matters, and that's what great fathers are. They are foundations to their children's and families' lives and success and getting to a place. Not to take away from women, I tell people this all the time, and it's not something I've ever said openly, but all of those men that's in the streets and in jail and in gangs, most of them have good mothers. Most of the mothers are good mothers, but the results are still the results. And I know that for a fact it's because of the lack of fathers. And as you just said, a lot of the times lack of fathers is not because the fathers don't want to be fathers. It's because of the system and sometimes the person that's fighting them to be present. And I'm not saying there's bad people and fathers and everybody out there. I'm not saying it's not people that don't want to be there, but I'm sure if you've journeyed this and I've journeyed this and we look aside and there's so many fathers next to us with the same aspirations for our children. Everything you just said, not one thing you said is like, yes, yes. Like that's exactly what I feel and I embody as a father. And so it's so funny that my wife even decided to reach out to you because this situation is happening. I was just like, I think I need to use my platform to speak on this more and to make this a more of a conversation. We need to be more aware that maybe the system hears us somehow. Maybe there's a judge watching Instagram, watching YouTube, watching Facebook, and they see this podcast, they see us excerpt, you know, and they come past and hopefully it can dial in to say, man, when I go back to judge and rule over a case, I'm going to look a little deeper this time. I'm not going to just assume this. I'm going to maybe look at, you know, maybe one judge just scrolls past and sees it and maybe they're inspired to do better, you know, or to look deeper or to say, you know what, that's true. I never even thought that. And let me do my part and do my due diligence to help that narrative change, you know. So I think that, you know, obviously we're not power in the judicial system, but we do have voices, we do have the internet, we do have influence. So I just want to give you your kudos for doing this and what you're doing to give fathers like myself a chance to just even just talk about it and see that as another father like yourself who has that same love and heart and passion for their children and saying, listen, I'm just trying to do what I was meant to do. I'm not trying to take child from mom. I'm not trying to cause any issues. I just want to make sure I imprint my God-given a gift on my children so that their life can be as best as it can from my experiences and from where I am. And I you know, I really, really am passionate about that.
And that's all we're asking for, man. That's all we're asking for at the end of the day, you know. So back in the days in South Africa, there was something called the migration labor system, you know, where the father left the home to work far away, like in the mines. You work in a mine, it'll be in a different town, you know. So he would leave the house without any male figure, you know, any male role model, you know. Mm. And that system was sort of like deliberately done in that way, in that fashion. And nothing has changed since then because...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even the court system doesn't see that. Fathers being not in a household, it's not viable for the kids. It's traumatic, you know. We still have trauma from not having our fathers at home, you know. So we sort of like had to teach ourselves a lot of things. Also, the system has not changed since then. I know in the States, there was it was just as bad as slavery, you know. It was just as bad. The system has not changed to accommodate us. So what do you think is one way we can, as brothers, how can we strategically work around this? How can we sort of like create, what can we do for ourselves? How can we challenge the legal system? How can we get to a point where we influence legislation? How can we come together and be able to lobby the system? You know, what can we do? What do you think we can do?
That's a great question. I think there's many ways to try. One being doing what we said, just getting the conversation going. And I truly think like how the LGBTQ community started to just march and to make a bigger noise about it. Fathers, remember back in the day, the Million Man March in the States, like really starting to like make noise, like somehow maybe even fathers, you know, boycotting something, like doing something to make this legislation change. I think we have to come together to do something to take away so that make enough noise that people recognize and start doing something in the legislation level. Like, this is a problem. I think that, yeah. So I believe that's one way to do it. Just starting to create petitions about the judicial system, the discretion that the family law judges have, and nobody's overseeing their decisions and I think that that's maybe one way, but it's going to take togetherness. It's going to take us bringing all of our resources together and us not being so selfish about what we want and just doing in our own personal lives, but seeing the bigger picture for our futures of children, especially as Black people, and making some ruckus, making some noise, making people like, oh, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's going to take that, because fathers kind of just, we're really silent about this. Like, we just kind of deal with it, right? And we'll find each other sometimes and be like, man, you dealing with that too? Dang, man, I pray that work out for you. And then we go back to our own corner and go back to fighting by ourselves. And we don't come together. So, like, I think maybe somebody, maybe me, I guess,
starting to build with other fathers and latching on, right? The Kevin Harts of the world and the Dwayne Wade that's dealt with, you know, custody battles and us really coming together, you know, and saying, hey, we need to go to legislation and say, hey, this is a real problem, right? And trying to connect with people within legislation to help us change this. One thing I think needs to be changed is that there needs to be more of a system where the judges have less discretion, that everything that comes before a court judge at the family law level, it needs to be overseen, right, to make sure that it's done fairly. And I think that family law judges have too much discretion. And when you have too much discretion, you're at the mercy of the judge. And the only way you can even fight the final decision on the judge is on the legal system, which sometimes is where it's very vague and there's hard to like kind of challenge the decisions that are made for some people. And I had to endure this. I had to go and fight an appeal. My son was taken from his city, from the state he was born in, and it was his home state. And I filed a court case. And basically, mom waited 6 months because that's what makes a home state of a child. Came here, waited 6 months, filed here. And that is wrong. That is wrong. And because of the time and the process of the court of my initial petition, they basically granted mom home state, which was wrong because you can't go and try to start cut. It's like you can't take a child and then wait 6 months somewhere, hide them, and then go file a motion. Like, yeah, this is home state now. That's just not fair. And it's been done. And I went to the judge because I was representing myself at the time, which is advice for fathers. You need to find a competent lawyer, because no matter how smart you are and how right you are and how strong the law supports you, judges do not respect you. Because they want to, you know, most judges want to be the smartest person in the room. And if you're saying something that goes against what they're saying, they feel like, first of all, you don't have the resources if you don't have representation. Also, you're not as believable and credible when you speak for yourself, right? So it just gives a different level of credibility when you have somebody speaking for you. Also, I would encourage you to find out whoever your judge is. Try to find a lawyer that's familiar with that judge. That's a very important thing that I learned. If you have a lawyer that has some credibility with that judge, that helps your case a lot, because the judge respects your attorney. I'm sure you learned that. Yeah, it really matters, because at least you get a fair chance to be heard. You know what I mean? And they're not looking at you side-eye because of your representation. So that's very important. But I have a lot of ideas, long story short, that could help us just sitting here. And this is just all coming out now. But I think the foundation of it all is us coming together, more importantly. I think us coming together and really having a leader and somebody to follow and say, hey, let's be effective in making a difference. And it might not affect us in our fatherhood time, but it'll help the fathers of tomorrow. It'll help our sons, you know, where they won't have to deal with this if they, you know, are part of a relationship that wasn't, you know, successful. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, man. So we might not benefit from what we're doing now, but our sons definitely will have it better because we have fought the good fight. We fought the good fight. There is a group on Facebook, Black Fathers. I think it started in the States. I'm also a member of the group. There's a lot of fathers there. I mean, it's a really great platform for us to connect, you know. Yeah, when my son was born, I joined the group and I posted a picture of me and my son, and the support was overwhelming. You know, the support was overwhelming. Brother would send me private messages. I've never even seen those guys, but it's very supportive, you know. And you mentioned another important thing that we need to be effective. You mean we have to strike? We have to do that. You know, we have to sort of like our influential people in the Black community, you know, or boycott the NBA or something. I mean, it needs to be at that level that if you're not hearing us, we're going to boycott the NBA.
That's huge. Boycotting the NBA. So, if they're like, hey, we're not going to play. Yeah. That
makes play.
That's it.
So now we need to we need to hit them where so they can listen to us, you know. So we need, what matters them to most is their big money, you know. When something is linked to their money, it's going to potentially affect their money. They want to start.
That's where
to
you
us,
hit them,
you know. So we need
NFL, NBA, Black fathers. They say we're not going to play. Those owners will get with legislation so fast.
Yeah. They'll be drafting a new law so
like,
fast.
Don't worry about it. We got it. It'll change it.
We got it.
That's great.
You see, so we need to be boycotting things at that level, you know, because in my personal capacity, if I'm like, okay, I'm not going to come to work because
it doesn't work.
No one is hearing me. It doesn't work, you know. But if we collectively do it, we work at a big corporation, we collectively do it, and our absence is felt, like, nah, we're actually pissed off. You know, we are pissed off. And we want you to stop and listen to us. Use your influence as a CEO or whoever. Talk to your CEO friends. Get them to bring the judge yet. Have the conversation on our behalf.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Because if you can't, if you're not happy, you mustn't be happy as well with getting a big check from our sweat. I haven't seen my son in 12 years. You know, I haven't seen my son in. So we need to be boycotting at that level. You know, we need to be able to come collectively at that level as well. I believe that's one level we can be very impactful and effect great change.
I agree. I think that's a great idea. I just think the challenge is really culturally helping us understand what's important. I think there was a situation with Colin Kaepernick, the football player, and they were trying to boycott. And, you know, the unfortunate part is that some of us have never made that much money in our lives, and the fear of losing that money, not understanding if we're collectively together, you're not going to lose that money, you're going to gain. But trying to get us to understand how important this is very important. So, like you said, maybe finding those people that can relate, that's in power positions, that can be able to speak to those players and people in the NBA and the NFL and whatever organization to really stand with us. And I think that's a great idea. I really do. I really think that's a great idea. And as I continue to build my influence and popularity, I think that I'm going to seek that for fathers. And like I said, my son, I'm praying that I don't have to deal with that anymore. I'm very fortunate amongst some fathers that I do get to see my son, that I do get to still have some imprint on him. And I have shared custody, and I get to see him majority of the time, like 60% of the time I have him now. That's why mom was trying to take him. But I'm very blessed. I think after I hear people not able to see their child, I wasn't able to see my son for 6 weeks, and I was miserable. It was so hard for me, and it was just sad, you know. So I definitely want to do my due diligence and my part to really help fathers not have to experience that, and children, more importantly, not have to be without the people that is another part of them that can help their lives. So, let's keep talking. Like, if you have any ideas of things that you think I can personally do, and I'm going to be thinking about it outside of starting a podcast or just joining something like this to continue to speak and spread the word of what needs to happen. And hopefully we catch someone's ear that maybe have some influence or some other great ideas or resources that can help us continue to put this conversation forward. I think in life, you find out that there's a purpose for you, and that God allowed you to go through this situation to have something to say about this so that you can make a difference. So I'm not going through this for myself. I'm going through this to have a testimony and to help fix this problem. So I think I understand that more than ever. And so I stopped looking at my child's mom as the enemy and understanding that this is my purpose and my calling to speak to this issue. And I guess we were the chosen ones to go through it, to learn it, to have to fight it.
Yeah, man, this is our fight, man. I mean, Martin Luther, Malcolm X, they had a different fight. This is our fight, you know. This is our fight to create a better world for our sons, you know. They should be able to say, today I'm able to have custody of my son because my father did this, you know. He did this. So we can be able to you know. So the important thing that the conversation has started and we're having this conversation, you know, and we're gonna keep talking about it. And as you said, a lot of people listening, you know, the internet age, a lot of people are listening, and they're like, okay, no, we hear you, how can we play our part, I can support. And in their small corners, they're gonna make the small changes they can, you know. So that's what we need. Now we need the conversation to start, which is great. So now we're going forward. You know, we keep talking and eventually we'll get there. Now, I believe definitely we are going to win. At the end, we have to. There's no other way. I mean, if Malcolm was like, nah, this is it. We wouldn't be here. Me and you wouldn't be talking like this, you know. If Martin Luther was like, I'm giving up. I can't take the system, is just beating me down. Like, there's nothing more I can do. Me and you wouldn't be able to sit here and have this conversation, you know? Yeah, so we are going to take this a step further. We're going to fight a good fight for the next generation. They must be able to sit at court confidently, knowing that if they arrived, they're going to leave there happy, you know? They're not going to go through depression, go through the anxiety, go through losing resources just to prove that they're a credible father. So yeah, I believe we are going to win, man.
We are. Yes, we are. And just to encourage all the fathers out there, don't give up. And it does get very hard, and it does make you want to quit, and it's nothing wrong with feeling that way. Just don't quit. And it's a scripture I always apply to my life that I think keeps me going. It says the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but the one that endureth to the end. So you just got to endure to the end and see it come to pass. So I agree, we win at the end.
Yes, nah, I believe so, man. Any projects you're working on that we need to keep our eyes on?
Well, yes. Thank you so much for that. I'm working on a feature film, my first feature film that I'll be co-directing and starring in. It's a thriller called Left on Red that we're in pre-production for now. So I'm very excited about that. This will be the first feature film, and coming out of my movie studio, I opened up a movie studio right outside Chicago. And so we're going to be doing independent projects and really trying to make our mark in that way and bringing quality movies and television to the world. And I'll be on America's Got Talent as well. I did a stand-up set on there that will, the audition should be coming out in the next few weeks. I'll be promoting that. So hopefully I can go far on that just to continue to build my influence. I've been doing it for a while, but you know, that show provides people at every level an opportunity to continue to expand your audience and showcase your talent. So it's really a great opportunity. Simon Cowell is very popular for judging talent. So I got a great response from him. So that was really dope. I'm very excited to see how, you know, what happens with that. But so I'm looking forward to that coming out and the audition and seeing how far I can go. But that's what I have now. And all this listening, I have a stand-up special on Amazon Prime called Chicago I'm Home, Barry Brewer, Chicago I'm Home. And that was my debut stand-up special. So please check that out. And I'm in works of working on a new one that kind of is, it will be a lot of my child custody stuff talked about. It's called Almost Jaded, which will be my second stand-up special. Almost Jaded, and Almost Jaded is about trying to fight to be the person you know you meant to be, but all of these obstacles that tries to jade you. And so custody was definitely one of those things that was just trying to, and still trying to make you bitter and make you this hard person and very cynical person. But I am still optimistic. I win at the end. My joy is still here. My mom always say, don't let nobody steal your joy. And so Almost Jaded will be coming out as well.
Thank you so much, man. We're going to be on the lookout for that. And thank you for taking the studios back home to Chicago, because we need to develop our communities, man. I salute that. That's power work. Yeah, we need to develop the talent back home. You know, we need to give the young boys at home an opportunity to dream, you know, and a platform for them to also say, no, from there, I'm going to Hollywood. Thank you for that.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And I, you know, my career is reflective, and I'm obviously not where I want to be. I'm obviously constantly still thriving, but I'm just very fortunate. I want to encourage all the fathers out there. Just if you stay with it, I promise you, it just gets, you know, you'll see confirmation and things that know that you're supposed to keep going. And so I just honored to be on here, Arnold. Thank you so much for having me, man. I really appreciate you.
Nah, thank you for joining me, man. I appreciate you, man. And all the best with Essico's talent. I know we're going to bring that home.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're going to look out. And if you do have any ideas, please drop me an email. I'll send you my email address. You can just drop me an email, then I'll do some research and do...
Yes, sir. Let's stay connected, man, because I'm all for it. So you got me on the squad. So we on the squad together. So continue. Let's continue having this conversation, please.
Thank you, my brother. Have a great evening, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you, bro.
Dope Black Podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.